The readings of this Mass of today, the 26th Sunday in ordinary time after Pentecost, are very interesting and very clear. Both the first two readings and the Gospel have to do with the rich and the poor, with mercy and generosity and selfishness. And of course, we have this very famous parable. And of course, it is a parable, and it's a parable that our Lord must have said with a smile on his face. It concerns the rich man, who is traditionally named by his description in Latin. Rich man in Latin is Dives, and even in English and other languages, the rich man is therefore called Dives, though that just means rich man. It doesn't particularly spell one particular man. It's Dives. But Dives also means many rich persons or people. So we need to be careful with that ourselves, because compared to the majority of the world, we are Dives. We are very wealthy. We have everything that we can possibly want and more. And most of the world has very little. And so this is something that is addressed to each and every one of us, and to man in the modern world, especially in Europe and America, where we are indeed very divas, very rich, wealthy, and well supplied in every which way. Even the poorest person in the United States has more than a regular person does in South America or Africa. And so this is something that needs to be called to our attention. Now here we have Dives, and of course this reading is also read during Lent. And it's always embarrassing, because during Lent we are dressed in purple garments and fine linens. Now we're in green garments and fine linens. So not as embarrassing in the middle of the summer as it is during Lent. And so we see Dives dressed to the hilt with the best of the best. And poor Lazarus, now this, he says it with a smile, because right across from him were St. Lazarus, St. Mary, St. Martha, and some of their relatives who were his best friends. And yes, even Jesus had best friends. There's nothing, anything, whatever, wrong with that. But I'm sure Jesus did this deliberately to embarrass Lazarus. And Lazarus would have looked aghast. Maybe his sisters, too. His sisters probably were laughing underneath their hands, as people are wont to do. So it's a very, very descriptive gospel. And so Lazarus is this destitute man. Destitute, no food, almost no clothes. Well, Dives was dressed to the hilt in the best that was available. And poor Lazarus, unlike the real Lazarus, who was also very rich, and this is what's interesting about this, the real Lazarus is very, very rich. Our Lord stayed at his mansion and his sisters and all that. And many, many people from Jerusalem came out to see him when he had been raised from the dead by Jesus. And so our Lord is saying this, and everybody knows that he's talking about a different Lazarus, but nevertheless, he is using the name to send some humor and embarrassment to his friend. And so Lazarus is out there dying of thirst and starvation at the porticos of the very wealthy mansion of Dives. And nobody bothers with him. Nobody cares about him. Because, you know, we're living in an era, it's a little not so much as it used to be, but I remember when I was in a seminary, especially before I went to Rome, the God of this age was the poor. Everything's about the poor, the poor, the poor, the poor. I got sick of it. But anyway, in a sense, there is quite a contrast, which we must not overlook. And so Lazarus was representing the poor. And he had very few clothes, nothing to eat and drink, unless somebody gave it to him. And he was also a leper. He was covered with sores from infections, from maybe eating bad food and drinking bad water. And our Lord says, and the dogs used to lick his sores. And it's interesting because, one, dogs would do that, but also veterinarians tell us that dogs have some kind of an antibiotic element in their saliva. So this is no accident at all. So they die. If you notice, Lazarus dies and immediately is swept up to heaven, which of course in the Hebrew parlance was the bosom of Abraham, who was Father Abraham. He was the head of the modern house of Israel in those days, not today. We won't go there. And he was immediately in heaven with Father Abraham. On the other hand, Dives was immediately buried. And of course, he goes immediately to hell. So it's important here, you know, and I mention this often enough, whether you listen or not, I don't know, I don't care. Our Lord, more than anybody else in the Bible, mentions hell over and over and over again in different ways. Here, Dives lands in hell, in this place of torments. Now, the difference between this and a parable and reality is, in hell, they cannot see anything but hell. They cannot see God, they cannot see Abraham, they cannot see Lazarus, they can only see hell. It is absolute hell. And so, in addition, they have no goodwill. Here, Dives has goodwill. He says, Father Abraham, help me. When he says, no, you can't. There's a great abyss. No one can come from here to there. And they can't. Not even Our Lady can go to hell to relieve those who are damned. Not allowed. Impossible. This is true. And those who are damned to hell cannot go out of hell, except the demons who are here on this earth to make our life miserable, to tempt us, to persuade us to forsake the love of God. And of course, that is an exception because they are demons. They're not just damned souls. And remember, of course, any Catholic who ends up in hell is a damned Catholic. So don't be a damned Catholic. Be a Catholic in heaven. And so, Dives, contrary to reality, is concerned about his five brothers. Well, if you can't help me, then send somebody to instruct my brothers, five brothers, because otherwise they're going to end up here with me, because they're doing the same thing I did. And Abraham, who is, of course, our Lord, tells him, if they don't listen to Abraham and the prophets, they're not going to listen to anybody, even if he should rise from the dead. Now, who is he talking about? And this, remember, this gospel is particularly read during Lent. In this rite, the readings are so whatever that they're even read in the summer. But this is a Lenten reading. And so, who is going to rise from the dead? Jesus, the Lord and Savior of all mankind, true God and true man, the Son of God the Father, the Son of the Immaculate Mary. He will rise from the dead. And just as you see in the world today, even if one should rise from the dead, they're not going to listen. Do you not know so many people that you can tell? You pray and you pray, but you know that unless they change, they are all damned to hell. And the majority of mankind is like this. I would say 90% of mankind, even about 80% of Catholics, are going to end up in hell because they do not follow Christ. They do not love Christ. They do not love their neighbor. They love themselves. They are lying in couches of ivory. And of course, ivory, even then, today it's against the law to have it or to sell it. Because the elephants are protected. Babies are not, but the elephants are. But it's very, very costly. It's very strong. I mean, those tusks are really strong. But that would not be possible today. In couches of ivory, in other words, they have every luxury in the world. And yet they don't care about those who don't. So there are many lessons to be learned. Of course, if you look at the first reading from Amos and the psalm and so forth, you will see other references. We don't have time for them all. But they are all references about the difference between those who are in this world rich and in this world those who are poor. And no matter what you think you are rich. You do not live in South America in the jungle or in Africa. You have food, you have water, you have a roof over your head. Some people don't, but that's because they want to be that way. They have a problem up here that has nothing to do with richness or poverty. And we need to try to help them, but they don't want to be helped. Just like the five brothers of Lazarus, of Divas, did not want to be helped, even if one should rise from the dead. In nomine Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.